you tell this gripping story, David, of being held at gunpoint with your name and your sisters on a revolutionary list at school, even though you were so young. I mean, it's pretty clear that was a moment you vividly recollect to this day, right?
I do. Yeah, we were in a military base. That's where we lived as a family when the revolution first happened. And my father was high ranked in the military, like I said. And so I remembered a soldier coming to our school and calling my name out in front of the entire student body. Actually, he read a few names. My sister and mine was the first. And when I made my way to the front, this was, you know, in front of the entire student body in at an assembly type setting. The soldier took a gun, pointed it at my head, and told me because of just being assigned by Allah that he was going to have to take my life. And that was just terrorism. You know, that was just bringing fear into the life of the people who were in charge of the old guard. And the school principal got between me and the gun and begged the soldier to come back another day. And I went home that afternoon and told my dad what had happened. And that's when my dad knew. You know, he said, "Hey, you're not going back to school, and we're planning our escape." And so that's when we began to, get things in order to get out of Iran.
That's the voice of Mr. David Nasser. He's an Iranian exile and a former Muslim who discovered Jesus and a ministry to reach the world for him through evangelism. He's written Jumping Through Fires and serves as Senior Vice President for Spiritual Development at Liberty University. And you mentioned the journey. You ended up in the American South as Iranian exiles, first in Texas,
right,
eventually in Alabama. What was that voyage like, and how did you end up in Texas?
Yeah, so like I said, we needed to escape, and so we used my mom's health issues that she had at that time, kind of leveraged that to get out of Iran. We went to these doctors that she'd been going to see for her heart, and we cut a deal with them. We said, "Hey, if you help us escape, we'll give you our home, our cars, our clothes, everything that we own." And so the doctors were in on the plan. My mom acted like her heart was really bothering her. This is like a few days after, you know, a soldier came to our school, basically, to put a gun in my head. And so my mom got taken to the hospital, and she, doctors came out and said she needs surgery, even though she didn't really need it. And we pretended like we were going to Switzerland for this supposed operation that wasn't even really happening.
Wow.
So we bought two-way airline tickets like we were going and coming back, and they got the homework assignments like we were going and coming back, and the house sitter, but we weren't coming back. We're running for our lives. And I remember that. I remember going to the Iranian airport just terrified and holding my dad's hand at the airport, and his hand just kept shaking, and he kept saying, "This is a dumb idea, they're going to catch us." But, you know, they didn't. And so we landed in Switzerland for the operation, and instead of going to the hospital, we went to the American embassy, and we pled for our lives. We pled for, asylum, basically, political asylum. It's a fancy way of saying a desire to become refugees here in America. But at that time, nobody was allowing Iranians into America. You know, people were watching on TV how the Iranian Revolution was happening, how 54 Americans were held hostage from the American embassy in Iran. And so, you know, we were the enemy at that time to a lot of Americans. And so we were stuck in Europe for about 9 months trying to make it to the States. And the doors just wouldn't open up until one day my mom got us together. And she said, "Hey, we've exhausted all these opportunities to, ways to try to make it to the United States." And she said, "I've got one other idea." She said, "We ought to pray to the American God and ask him to let us into his country." And she showed us a picture of a white guy with a beard and a mullet. And he's American, and we ought to ask him to let us into his country. And I know that's horrible theology, but that's what we did. That's the first time I ever heard the name of Jesus. You know, basically asking who I thought was an American God for a passport. But God was bigger than, you know, that moment for us, because we prayed, and within a week the doors opened up. And I remember flying here to the States thinking, you know, I don't like religion because I saw it destroy my country, But hey, Jesus, thanks for letting us into your country. So we came here to the States, and that's when things started to shift a little bit for us.